This is DiPietro, Canty, and Rothenberg.
Appropriately beaten up on the Jets, and I'm flabbergasted at the Giants as well. I mean, you should have won that game yesterday. You're up 17-3. Prescott leaves the game with a gruesome injury. You had multiple chances. You had a tie game, three timeouts, 2 minutes to go. You could do nothing, Chris. Then you allowed Dallas to come back and kick the game-winning field goal. And I know that Joe Judge sits here and tells you that, you know, there's progress being made and we're moving in the right direction. You're 0-5. And that's a game that if you're the Giants, you should have won yesterday.
Yeah, you should have won that game, Dave. But you could go back to costly mistakes that the Giants had throughout that game and really from this, in the second and third quarter. I mean, when you go back to the fake field goal, and that ends up leading to a touchdown to Evan Engram, except Cam Fleming doesn't get set before the snap of the ball, ends up nullifying a touchdown. You got to settle for three. Then you had the OPI on Damian Ratley on that third and six, where it ends up being a Darius Slayton touchdown for 31, going for 31 yards. But because of that penalty, you end up having to settle for a field goal in that drive. And then you have Daniel Jones, who decides to put the ball on the ground after he gets sacked from DeMarcus Lawrence, and Anthony Brown scoops and scores. So, I mean, you're talking about 21 points right there. 21 points. Those are the types of mistakes that get you beat, Dave. I don't care if you're playing against a backup quarterback or not. You can't afford to do those types of things. And, yeah, the Giants had another opportunity in that game yesterday, and they couldn't take advantage of it. But you know what, Dave? It's the same story every single week. The Giants snatched defeat from the jaws of victory. I get tired of talking about it. I really do.
It could be worse. You could be me. You could be a Jets fan.
But come on. I mean, we're all you make it sound like it's sunny and warm where we are. We're 0-5. Look at what they've done the last three seasons, Rick. It's disgusting at this point. All they do is lose football games. That's all.
I have a hard time watching the New York Giants after I watched the New York Jets and say that the Giants were disgusting. Unless you can think of a stronger word to describe what I saw with the Jets than disgusting.
The Jets were like, yes, you're right. I'm not arguing that the Jets are not worse. The Jets are worse, but don't sit here and wax poetic about how it's not that bad for the Giants. Every year is bad, Rick. They're 0-5. They had a 17-3 lead, and they let it slip away at the snap of a finger. Backup quarterback comes in, up and down the field.
Well, don't call him a back. I mean, he's not your – you know,
he's their backup quarterback. He hasn't taken a snap
this season.
He's
a backup quarterback.
Well, that's what happens when you give up three touchdowns in 6 minutes. I mean, at least look at the bright side. You scored your first touchdown in the last 144 offensive plays.
I mean, there is not. The offensive line stinks. This guy had the gall to sit here and tell us it's for once and for all, this thing is fixed. Really?
It's awful, Dave. Andrew Thomas is bad. It's getting worse. I mean, we talked about the six pressures he allowed last week against the Rams. He allowed 9 in this game and that sack fumble. Like, he's getting worse. Like, I don't know what they do about him. Like, he looks the worst of the four offensive tackles taken in the first half of the first round this past year. He looks the worst of the four. Between Wirfs, Wills, and Becton, like, he looks the worst.
It's the fourth pick.
This is where you get yourself in trouble as a GM, though. When you have your opportunity to pick. You have your pick at that position. If you screw that up, that's not great.
You know what I mean? Honestly, like I don't know how anyone can defend him at this point. Anybody.
I will say this. Right? I understand you're unhappy that you lost the game. I get it. I mean, to have a 17-3 lead. We've seen Dallas do this in the entire season. They get down big early, and then their offense is great with all the different weapons and everything else. They find a way to come back. And you end up losing it. And Chris mentions the two huge plays. You know, that's 14 points taken off the board because of penalties. What concerns me the most, and, you know, fumbles, turnovers, those are a big issue. But what concerns me the most with Daniel Jones is that you can clearly see during a game that he's starting to get a little bit hesitant. Like, you can tell it's in his mind.
He's getting flustered.
He doesn't want to turn the football over.
He's getting flustered. You can tell. Now, to his defense, Rick, he was under pressure 19 of the 35 dropbacks.
Every snap.
So, I mean, I can understand why he would look flustered. He's under duress back there.
And that's with the running game. Guys, the Giants actually ran the ball reasonably well yesterday, and you still couldn't give him time to throw the ball.
I thought the Giants ran the ball well, and I thought the play calling was pretty good yesterday for the Giants. I mean, Jason Garrett showed some things early on in that game, Dave. I mean, you had a screen pass on the first drive. You had the flea flicker play. You had the Evan Engram reverse in the goal line. Like, there were some things that we saw from the Giants offense that we hadn't seen in the first four games. So I thought that, Jason Garrett did his best to try to help out his young quarterback, but again, Dave, it comes back to not having those untimely mistakes. And the Giants aren't going to win many games unless they're able to overcome that. Now, that being said, you did have the ball with a minute 50 left in the game tied, and your quarterback could have done something with it, and he came up snake eyes.
With a field goal kicker who's been hitting 55-yard kicks ease.
Yeah, he had three 50-yard field goals at that point in the game.
So get me to their 38, and I would have felt pretty good. And you couldn't even do anything close to that.
Yeah. Yeah, it's bad, man.
It's bad.
It's bad. There's no other way to describe it. So I just, you know, I don't know how it gets better. The whole turnover thing with Daniel Jones, it's clear the kid came into the season with that being a focal point, something that he worked on in the offseason, and it still hadn't gotten better. Dave, that was his 14th lost fumble yesterday, and overall his 31st turnover. If he keeps turning the ball over, no matter who you want to blame for it, if he keeps turning the ball over, at some point you're going to have to do something different. And I root for Daniel Jones. I think there's a lot to like about his game. But if he keeps doing that, you can't afford to have him as your quarterback. I don't care what Joe Judge says to the media. Like, you can't turn – Dave, he's turned the ball over 31 times in 17 games.
It's an epidemic.
31 times in 17 games.
I don't understand why you laugh. I sit, you know what? You're a bad guy. I sit here and I listen to every complaint you have with the Jets and I go back and forth and have real discussion with you. And then I sit here and say something about the Giants, which is true, and you laugh?
I feel your pain. It's just
it's an epidemic. He fumbles the ball ad nauseum.
There's too many turnovers. You're right. You're right. But again, I go back to my biggest fear for this kid is you can clearly see that he is hesitant there are times during the game, and I see the same thing with Sam Darnold, that he knows in his mind that the last thing he wants to do is turn the football over. So there are guys that are open, but he doesn't want to pull the trigger because he doesn't want to make a mistake. And you can't play. You cannot be successful at the professional level if you're thinking as much as Daniel Jones is thinking right now. If you're afraid to make mistakes, you will never reach your potential, ever.
So that's a fair point. That is a fair point.
I think that's part of the reason why. I mean, you saw Tom Brady. I still don't think it was his fault that he didn't know it was fourth down. I would imagine that the guy in your ear is probably telling you, okay, you know, fourth down, let's get the first down. But again, who cares? But he's thinking. Like, Tom Brady has not had to think ever. Because, I mean, that's like a second. The Patriots playbook to him is a second language. He can play fast. When he's learning new offense, new players and everything, he's got to think more. So he can't be as effective. You got a young quarterback that's already under pressure, and on top of it, he has to think because he doesn't want to make a mistake.
I need him to think. Hold on to the football in the pocket. That's what I need him to think.
I don't know that he can do it.
Think that.
Because he's trying to make a play, and he needs to hold on to the football. I get it. But, I mean, even the flea flicker. I mean, Chris, that's a great play call. That almost was a disaster.
Yeah, it was. It was.
If it wasn't for Daniel Jones making a nice play, like actually using his athleticism to get out.
Yeah, he got out. He escaped to the right. Yeah, yeah. Because it was going to be a tackle for loss.
So I get it. I mean, you should be frustrated. I get it. But, I mean, I feel... Again, maybe this is just me having lived through something like this that I can't help but feel bad for the kid.
Well, I'm not saying I don't feel bad for him.
Because you just said it. His offensive line is brutal.
It's terrible.
It's not fixed.
It's not fixed. So it's another year. I mean, so you brought in Zeitler, you signed Gates, you used the fourth overall pick, right? You bring in Cam Fleming. It's not fixed. How is that possible that years now? You've said you fixed it. It's better. It's better. It's better. Once and for all, it's fixed. It stinks.
It's bad. And against a defense that gave up 126 points coming into that game, your offense was only able to muster 300 total yards. So a defense, the 3 weeks prior that gave up 126 points, your offense was only able to get 300 total yards of offense.
And all you needed to do was pick up 40 yards on the final drive. That's it. 40 yards. Get into field goal range, pop it home, get out of there. And you know what? The conversation would have been today, as awful as they are, they're right there to win this division. Awful as they are. Yes. I'm serious.
That would have been a conversation. Now we're talking about the Cowboys. Dave, now we're talking about the Cowboys still contending for the division with Andy Dalton as their starting quarterback.
The Eagles are awful. Washington is brutal. The Giants stink. I have no doubt whatsoever that Dallas will still win this division.
You know
what's
crazy,
Dave? They might win seven games.
The Giants' offense looked a lot better yesterday than it had the first quarter of the season. they still only average 4.8 yards a play, which is awful. That's terrible.
And they went up against the defense, which is the laughing stock of the NFL.
But that's how beaten down you've been. I mean, this offense is, let's be honest, your offense has been bad.
Terrible.
It's been terrible. It's been the worst. I mean, hate to say the worst because this is the Jets, but I mean, statistically, you guys were averaging the least amount of points. I mean, you scored 3 touchdowns, which is as many as you scored for the entire season, which is, I mean, I guess you want to take it as a positive, but.
Well, one's a defensive touchdown.
Hey, can we just,
right?
can I just make one statement here before we continue to beat up on the Giants? If, and this is for the duration of the show, as long as DCR is on the radio, now, next year it could be 1 hour. Who knows? And Santi, I want you to agree with us. If somebody calls into the show and says anything about a player holding out for more money or having some kind of contract dispute, we're going to hang up on them immediately.
Yes. I won't even let them get the sentence out.
Yes, I concur. I second that motion.
Because what Dak Prescott is now going to have to deal with.
Yep.
And he, I mean, he's making 31, but according to reports, he left, I mean, 70-something million dollars on the table to bet on himself because they couldn't get a long-term deal in place. And yeah. Now he's dealing with, and he's not out of the woods. Yeah, surgery went well last night, and they said the same thing about Alex Smith.
Right, that's right. You don't know about infection. You don't know what happens in the coming weeks.
When the bone pops out of the skin, when a broken bone pops out of your skin.
Right.
That's not a good thing.
That's not a good thing.
But if there's not an infection, if there's not any nerve damage, you know, and all goes well with the rehab process, we'll see Dak Prescott back on the field in 2021. It's just a matter of what his contract situation is going to look like. Because I wouldn't think that he'd be able to command the same amount of money that he would had he been able to get through this season and get to the free agent marketplace. It's just not going to happen.
Right.
So
we'll see I imagine.
I still think he gets paid 30-something million a year. But it's not going to be the same guarantees. It's not going to be the same cash flow. It's going to be a very team-friendly deal because he just doesn't have the same kind of leverage. He doesn't.
So it sucks.
It sucks that this happened to him because you're talking about a guy that's done everything right for that franchise on the field and off.
And
when I look at the replays, and when I look at the replays of that draw play, I can't help but become infuriated at Michael Gallup. Infuriated. Guy sitting there doesn't block his bend. Dak Prescott makes a miss. He doesn't decide to try to go block somebody else and just stands there 5 yards away while one of the defensive backs for the Giants is snapping his quarterback's ankle.
That was Logan Ryan. Yeah, it was gross. How about Tony Romo?
They won't even show the play now. You see what they're digitizing it.
How about Tony Romo? You can see him holding his leg and the foot's pointing in the opposite direction.
And he says it could be a cramp.
I hope it's a cramp.
A cramp?
No, it's not. It's not a cramp.
Tony, that's no cramp.
It's not a cramp, Tony.
What kind of cramps do you get?
He must have some vicious cramps.
that looked like what happened with Gordon Hayward. That's exactly what that looked like.
The second it happened, I was like, oh, no. And this guy's like, let's just hope it's a cramp. Tony, I'm pretty confident. And my medical degree is not from one of the great schools. I'm pretty confident that's not a cramp.
But no, Dave, it bothers me, man, because the guy gives the team everything he's got every single time he takes the field. And it's clear that not all of his teammates do the same thing. And I don't like blaming guys for injuries, things like that. But what Michael Gallup did on that play, just go back and watch it and see what he did. The guy just stood there.
Nothing.
The entire freaking play. He did nothing. He did nothing. And now his quarterback is out for the rest of the season. It bothers me, man. Listen, we heard it last week with Xavier Woods. Oh, well, to ask NFL players to go out there 70 plays and give you 100% effort, that's just not realistic. The Cowboys have a culture problem down there. And it's beyond the head coach. This ain't a Mike McCarthy problem. It wasn't a Jason Garrett problem. There's something going on in Dallas that ain't quite right. It's something that stinks. Because that team, they feel like they're an entitled group and that their wins happen without them having to go out there and play, without them having to go out there and execute at a high level. And that play is a microcosm of what we've seen from the Cowboys the last couple of years. It's disgusting.
You know what's amazing to me, though, is that you could see how his teammates
love him.
Well, how they reacted.
They love him.
And you know what was amazing, too, is that
if you love him, block for him.
Well, exactly right. Yeah, block for him. But, I mean, they were clearly, you can see Jason Garrett up in the box.
Was that Stephen Jones' wife?
Yeah.
Inconsolable.
And that, what I thought was amazing, though, so I'm watching all these games yesterday, and then when you guys were watching the Cleveland game, when Baker Mayfield gets hit and knocked down, and it looks like he could have separated his shoulder.
Right.
Like, mm-hmm. There's no one teammate. No one even comes to, like, I think it was one guy, like, helped him up. But he's, like, dragging his arm, and no one even
you
comes
right,
over
Baker?
To see if
Good?
He's okay.
All right, let's go. Second and seven. Here we go. You're right. They and that just shows you. They love him.
Love
they
him.
Do, and they should. I mean, he is as likable a player in sports as we've seen.
And he's gone through so much, man.
Yeah,
so
I feel
much.
So bad for him.
Think about what happened earlier this year with his brother, man.
Right.
Yeah.
And didn't his mom pass away from cancer?
Yeah, when he was in college, yeah.
Oh, poor guy. He's resilient, I'll tell you that. He'll come back from this.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, he'll be back, Dave. It just sucks that he has to go through it. Like, it just sucks that he has to go through it. Like, he has to deal with having a season-ending injury without the security of a long-term contract.
Terrible.
Security that the organization should have given him a long time ago.
And speaking, you know, you see him yesterday with that injury, and you're horrified. It's grotesque and graphic, and you think, oh, he's out for the year. How about Alex Smith?
Huh? I know.
I mean, honestly, like, I almost had tears in my eyes watching him and watching when they showed his wife and his kids up there watching him play. I mean, what a great story. And we all watched the piece that Stefania Bell did on E60. To come back from that, I mean, he almost lost his leg. And he came back to play professional football yesterday? I mean, what a great story.
I tell you what, the leg is good. After seeing Aaron Donald
beating.
And the rest of that Rams defensive line jump on his back, the leg looks like it's good, Dave. But, I mean, it's a hell of a story to go through what he went through the last few years and come out on the other end and still have an opportunity to do what you love. Because, quite frankly, if I'm being honest, I was skeptical. I didn't think we would see Alex Smith on an NFL field ever again. And the fact that he was actually able to come into that game and then Ron Rivera left him in even after Kyle Allen was cleared. Like, that just – I don't know, man. It's just – it's one of those things. Like, I've lived that movie and going through a tough injury, and I can't imagine what it was like with Alex Smith because that's life-threatening. Like, right. I can't imagine going through all of that and then having the courage to come back and step foot on an NFL field and put yourself in harm's way. Nothing but respect for Alex Smith, man.
But when you don't have to, I mean, financially you don't have to.
No,
and on top of it, you have nothing. I mean, you really have
absolutely.
I mean, everyone would understand. I mean, you have nothing to prove to anybody. You almost lost your leg. You almost lost your life.
But he did to himself.
No, exactly. Right.
To his kids. I don't even know if it's proven something to himself. I just think it was the opportunity to come back and do something that you love. I mean, how many shows have we done where Rick is telling stories about what he would or would not do in order to get back out there on the hockey rink? Like, I mean, if you love it and you have an opportunity, if there's just a small chance, you'll do whatever it takes to see if you can do it.
And yeah, but I don't even think he thought this was possible. I think his whole mindset was, like, keep the, you know, returning to the NFL as the carrot, so I approach my rehab every single day as if that's what I'm striving for. So even if I can't come back, my life is going to be better because I'll have, you know, rehab my leg the right way so mm-hmm. I can play with my kids and everything else. And then all of a sudden, it just kept getting better and better. And he got to a point where, and I will tell you this, my wife was going crazy. She was actively
watching the game yesterday.
She was getting so mad. She's like, "What is he doing?" I said, "Who?" She said, "Number 99 for blue." I said, "That's Aaron Donald. He shouldn't be jumping around. Can't they take it easy?" I was like, "No, it's football."
No, you don't know football. There's nothing easy about that.
Oh my God.
You don't
God.
Need to jump on his back. And then I had my Dave Rothenberg moment because I had that game as one of our picks. Like, I was actually, like, secretly rooting that he didn't play well, and then I felt awful afterwards. Like, I can't
put
have
that
can't.
In mind.
I needed another touchdown in that game. RJ Bell killed me, man. I needed another
Again.
Touchdown.
Again?
Are you guys 0-5 now?
They're 0-5.
No, I'm not even talking about that. I'm just saying RJ Bell with his best bet, best over-under of the year with the Rams and the Washington football team going over 46.5.
Ooh.
RJ had
that's what I'm talking about.
Yeah, even his five picks weren't good. He was 2-for-3 on his Super
Now,
contest.
Did I hear somebody tweeted me that he took the Giants as one of his five picks? That can't be right.
Yeah, he took
right.
the Giants.
No,
yeah,
that can't be right.
No, it is. He took the Giants.
Wait, how?
He said.
He took Dallas on our show.
Yeah.
Because by the time he got the, he realized what he did and realized that, you know, Canty and him together as a team are just absolute hot messes.
he went the other way.
You know what, Rick? You know what he did? He told us he was going to do it on Friday. We just didn't pick up on it. Remember he said, well, Canty's last couple of weeks, you got to ask yourself, is there something wrong there or is this just an aberration? And he probably said, you know what, Canty's not necessarily picking the best game, so we came with that Cowboys pick. I'm going to go against that. That's what he did.
He went Jaguars.
He bet against me. He bet on me that I would be wrong.
But that was also his pick on our show, even aside from you. Like, his pick of the week on our show was Dallas minus nine. And then he went in conjunction with you, Dallas minus nine. And then in his five-pack of picks, he picked the Giants plus the points.
And yeah, what was the game? What was the game that he picked for the K-Show, Rico?
It was the over-under on the Rams.
Yeah, he went over-under for the Rams, and I think he liked Indy.
He liked Indy?
Okay. Yeah, but he didn't take Indy in his picks either. He took the Jaguars, the Jets, the Bengals, the Dolphins, and the Giants.
So Jaguars lost. Jets was a disaster. Who else?
The Bengals got hammered. The Dolphins.
Well, they covered easy.
Yeah.
And the Giants.
And the Giants covered. But I don't know. I call shenanigans there.
Yeah, that doesn't sound right to me.
Dallas on our show and the Giants and his picks, I don't approve.
Oh, that's what he gets. I mean, he starts going back and forth and playing both sides. He goes 2-for-3 in the Super Contest. That's what happens.
Good. He deserves that. I'm glad. You shouldn't win the Super Contest if you're doing that. Today on ESPN Daily, the Lakers are NBA champions. Dave McMenamin explains how much it means in this unique historic season, plus the big stories from the NFL on ESPN Daily. Subscribe now wherever you get your podcasts. All right, quick break. Come back. Let's get to your NFL calls, be it the Jets, Prescott, the Giants, Alex Smith, wherever you want to go.
Did you see this news now?
What happened?
If 2020 was a professional team, they'd be the Jets, because it just gets worse and worse. It doesn't let up.
Who died now?
Joe Morgan.
The baseball player?
Man.
Yeah, Bob Nightingale. More awful news. Hall of Famer Joe Morgan has passed away.
Another Hall of Famer passed away. Oh, my God.
That's terrible. Enough is enough.
Oh,
I don't know, we can't take much more of this.
We should just tap out of this season. This really is.
It won't let you. That's the problem. It won't let you tap out.
To the end.
I've tried. I've been trying. It won't happen. It doesn't happen.
Terrible.
It won't stop.
All right, a lot of different directions we can go in. Let's get to some of these calls here on the state of New York football and the Prescott injury and Alex Smith. And I mean, what a performance again from the Seahawks last night. And they're now 5-0 on a great, great, exciting Sunday night football game.
What are you doing there, going for it there?
You agree that they should have kicked the field goal?
Well, you kicked the field goal. Now you're up eight. You can't lose.
Yeah, no, I agree. But nobody else thought so.
Well, I think they were basing it off of the analytics, and the numbers told them that your chances of winning wouldn't go up if you kicked the field goal.
But if you kick the field goal, the absolute worst you do is go to overtime.
I'm not arguing that with you, Dave, but I think your chances of being able to win the game in regulation don't go up.
Let's put that on the list, Mike Zimmer
didn't kick the field goal.
Let me go to my Yankee notes. Let's put on the list of things. of an argument against analytics. I'm going to put that with game two.
Brian Cashman loved going for it.
Listen, I'm not saying I agree with the decision. I'm just telling you the reason why he went for it. That's what they said last night.
I know you're not. Did you have any doubt that when they did not get that he was going to lead them on?
Oh, I knew Russell Wilson was going to go down the field.
No doubt, right?
No question in my mind.
No doubt. Let's go to Jim in Patterson. Jim, you're next up on 98.7 ESPN.
Hey, guys. Thanks a lot for taking my call. I don't believe in sports curses, but I do believe in karma. And ever since they built that disgusting toilet bowl stadium that's now Giants Stadium, the Giants have made every wrong decision, from firing Tom Coughlin to, 2014, getting Odell. Next pick, Aaron Donald. 2015, Eric Flowers.
But, Jim, it's not because
we won a Super Bowl in the second year of that stadium.
Yeah, well, thank you, Kenny. I appreciate that.
Jim, if you want to call up and beat up the Giants for awful decisions, I think the floor is yours. But if you're going to go crazy because it's somehow correlated to the stadium, I think that's asinine.
If anyone should be complaining about that stadium, it's me. I mean, that glass in the suite's too clean. Just broke my nose.
You walked right into it, didn't you?
I almost knocked myself unconscious. Canty was there. I almost knocked myself unconscious.
Yeah, Rick's game day migration pattern was affected by the clear windows.
You're lucky it didn't break.
I'm lucky I didn't. Dave, I was already banged up. You know how I get at the tailgates. I'm walking through MetLife Stadium, introducing myself as Alan Hunt to everybody else. I come bombing into the suite and then proceed.
No, you went bombing into the door.
Yeah, right straight, boom, into the glass door and almost fell down. It stunned me.
Oh, my gosh.
You really are. Tom, Long Island. Tom, you're next up on 98.7.
Hey, how you doing, guys? Thanks for having me. So as a lifelong Jet fan, there's been a lot of bad years. But my question was, do you think that Adam Gase's job this year is being saved because of what's going on and we can't have fans in the stands booing and showing our displeasure
yes.
for what's going on?
Yes,
100%.
100%. It hasn't change will get made when it starts to affect the bottom line for the Jets. And right
yes.
now it's not affecting the bottom line because there's no fans in seats.
If you had 35,000 people in the stadium yesterday, I think there's a good chance that he's not back today. I do. I think that he catches a break, if you can call it that, because there's no fans this year.
After they lost to the Broncos, I mean, how many people do you think were going to be in the seats? Seriously.
Yeah, I don't think you would have had many yesterday, that's for sure.
No, you would. I mean,
we're moving
you
forward.
Wouldn't have.
I mean,
I wonder what the circumstances
would you want to go to a Jets
have...
game now?
No.
No. No, no, no.
I go tailgate, and then I would go tailgate and then leave.
So you pull a page out of my playbook, huh?
Exactly.
Tailgate and leave.
Tailgate and leave.
Drop yeah. a couple hot dogs. Drop a couple hot dogs on the ground and then be out.
Oh my God!
Oh man!
You can't help but laugh. Otherwise,
what would the circumstances have to be for the Jets to win a game?
I gotta
forfeit.
Be honest with you.
Forfeit.
I don't even see how it's possible.
That's what I'm saying. Like the Denver Broncos game, short week, a West Coast team. Well. West Coast of Jays, traveling east, third string quarterback who's thrown 9 passes before that game, and you still lose that game.
And allowed 37 points, I think, right?
Yeah. So what would the circumstances have to be for them to win a game?
I mean, you run through – here's the thing. It's Miami this week, right?
Yeah.
Can
yeah.
the schedule change? Can they
the
beat Miami? Miami
yeah. Readjust the schedule.
Can they beat Miami?
No.
Can they beat the Chargers?
No.
Can they beat the Bills?
No.
Can they beat the Chiefs?
No.
No.
Patriots?
No.
You said already they can't beat Miami. Can they beat the Raiders?
No.
Can they beat the Seahawks?
Did you see what the Raiders did to the Chiefs' offense
yes.
in the second half
Put
of that game?
40 points. Yeah. Seahawks?
Forget the points. Their defense. I mean, the defense,
their defense
was awesome
you're
the
right.
second
rattled.
Half.
Travis Kelce says it was all on him yesterday. But here's the thing. I don't even know, and I'm being serious and genuine, looking at the schedule, what game they can win. Like, if I said to you right now, what's the most winnable game? Is it? I guess it's Miami. I guess.
Not after the way they looked yesterday.
Okay, but who else
unless
would
you
it
had,
be the Chargers?
Unless you had Rutgers the week 18.
But who, really, who? When you look at the remainder of their schedule, what game do you look at and say that's the easiest game they have? It's either Miami or the Chargers,
They already played their easiest game. They played the game they needed to win. That was the game. The Denver game was the game that... That was the game they needed to win.
Correct.
Yeah.
So it's hard to envision that they're going to win a football game this season.
They're losing by an average of 17 points a game. 17.
That's why you should be okay with them firing the head coach, Rico. You have nothing to worry about.
I want him to suffer with me. He shouldn't get off easy.
Still getting paid. Al Don, Staten Island. Al Don, you're on 98.7.
Hey, good morning, guys. Chris. This is for you. You say that Michael Gallup, you know, should have blocked. How about he should, you know, Prescott should have, the offensive line parted the defense like a Red Sea. Get your 5-6 yards. He gained enough yards. You're a quarterback. You're the franchise quarterback. You don't try to run over a DB. And, yeah, maybe Michael Gallup should have threw a block, but he probably didn't think that Prescott was going to try to stiff arm him and run over. This is the difference between him and Patrick Mahomes. You got to know when to slide, and you got to know when you get, you know, you got enough yards and get down safely. So now he's out for the year. He also should have took the 30-something million per year because he's not that accurate. If you look at last season's finale against
Why are we having this conversation today about Dak Prescott, whether or not he's worth 33, 34, 35? He's worth whatever somebody's willing to pay him. And the fact is, if the Cowboys didn't franchise him, somebody would have paid him what he was looking for on the open marketplace. So regardless of what you think Dak Prescott should have or should not have taken in terms of a long-term contract is irrelevant to the conversation. Now, as to the play yesterday, okay, Dak Prescott should have got down earlier. How does that absolve Michael Gallup from blocking? That's his damn job. He gets paid to block and catch footballs.
I'm pretty sure he didn't think he was going to try to stiff arm a
defense. You're pretty sure you shouldn't block your guy? You're pretty sure he doesn't have to think about blocking his guy on a design quarterback run.
Shouldn't have blocked him. I'm saying now you're looking for a push.
He didn't try to block the guy. Go back and look at the tape. Go back and look at the tape. He didn't try to block the guy. He didn't even try. And, oh, by the way, Dak Prescott made his man miss. That wasn't the guy that hurt him. Dak Prescott made his man miss. But Michael Gallup decides that he's not going to try to block anybody else.
Why none of the running quarterbacks, Cordell / Stewart, Mike Vick, Lamar Jackson, Randall, this is why they don't.
Oh, yeah, Mike Vick never got hurt running the football. Never got hurt doing that. Never.
He never made it. They never made it to the Super Bowl because they get hurt before they can get to the championship game.
Timeout. Here's the thing, though. Timeout. This is why I understand what you're saying. And, you know, I wouldn't put Dak in the guys that have played baseball at a high level in the same category. Those guys, I mean, they naturally know Russell Wilson, Kyler Murray.
It's different.
It's different. Like, they know, they naturally know how to slide. And they don't take big hits. To your point, though, Mike Vick, this will be the first game that Dak Prescott ever misses. In his entire career in the NFL, he has never missed a start. Playing how he plays, he's never missed a start. It's a freak injury, man.
I just don't understand, though, how it's okay for Michael Gallup not to block. Oh, he probably didn't think that Dak was going to. It's a designed quarterback draw.
I know what it is. Santy, was that was Aldon Woods. That was Xavier Woods' brother, wasn't it?
It might have been.
That's who that was. How do you get to Aldon?
He's looking for a reason to blame Dak Prescott for getting hurt.
How do you get to Aldon? Is that like mom likes Al, dad likes Don? Let's make it
yeah,
Aldon.
We'll mush them together, yeah.
Aldon.
I can't even.
It's a freak
man,
injury.
He blames Dak Prescott. Wow.
I think I saw that Prescott's never been on the injury report.
Never been on the injury report.
Never been on the injury report. Suffers a freak injury, and you're going to blame him for it?
Here's the thing, guys. I'm not saying that happened only because Michael Gallup didn't block, but Michael Gallup not blocking certainly didn't help that play. It didn't. And if Michael Gallup would have known that his quarterback could potentially get hurt, I think you see a different effort level from Michael Gallup on that play, which is my point.
That's exactly why when you hear Xavier Woods say what he said.
That's what I'm getting at.
It aggravates you because, I mean, they don't always directly correlate. Like, you not showing effort in blocking doesn't always correlate into the person that's carrying the ball getting hurt, but the potential exists.
Exactly. Exactly. And on that play, we just so happened to see it. Michael Gallup didn't touch a soul. And guess what? His quarterback made one guy miss, and then the next guy in Logan Ryan came and tackled him and broke his ankle.
Oof. Thought it was cramped.
I don't know how you defend Michael Gallup not blocking on that play. How do you defend that?
You can't. You can't do it. I still can't get over
what Dak Prescott should or should not have done.
Yeah, I know you're going to say.
Today is not the day to do that to Dak Prescott.
Yeah, I still can't get over it.
That is first reaction. I know that, and that's what he's saying. He goes, I think this could be cramps.
I hope it's just a cramp, Jim.
Yeah, his ankle was turning in a different direction.
What?
It actually looked like his ankle came out of the shoe.
It did. What do you mean? It looked like it was. It's a dislocation with a compound fracture.
Oh, chills from that. Chills. Ugh. Want to remind you can listen to us anywhere. Click Listen Live at ESPNNewYork.com. Find 98.7 ESPN on the ESPN app or the TuneIn app, or simply tell your smart speaker, play 98.7 ESPN at 98.7 ESPN New York. We go where you go. So this was quite a sports weekend. We have the disaster that is New York football. Jets unbelievably bad. Giants awful as well. Kenty, can I bring up one? And you know, honestly, I'm not a huge referee guy complaining about the officiating.
Mm-hmm.
On that last drive, right in front of everyone.
The holding call?
I mean, how is that not holding?
It is holding, Dave.
I mean, Chris, it was blatant, and it was right in the middle of the play, and it was right in front of the quarterback.
Yeah, the refs had the best seat in the house, Dave. All they needed was some popcorn. Take it all in. There are missed calls all the time in games, though. I mean, in an NFL game, you could probably call holding on every single play. But that one was an egregious hold that the ref absolutely has to see.
Yeah, I don't know.
It's a nice catch, though, too.
It was a great catch. It was a great play. It was a good throw.
It actually looked like he reached, like he was going to throw the flag. And then for some reason, he decided not to.
How could you not?
It was a hell of a catch by Michael Gallup, though.
In good coverage, too. I mean, Lewis was draped all over him down the sideline.
You're right.
Maybe because it's Dallas, it's the home team. I mean,
I don't know. And again, and you know this is true. Like, I hate to really complain about the officiating, and I don't think that's what lost the Giants the game. I think the Giants lost the game themselves. But it was so blatant that I can't believe in that moment they didn't throw a flag.
Yeah, it seemed obvious, but again, I mean, it's up to his judgment. I thought he was going to make the call look like he was reaching for his flag, but he didn't.
Yeah, no, he didn't. The Giants
guy still makes a good play though.
He did.
You still have to make the play. You still have to make the catch.
I agree. And he got his feet in. It was a great play. I'm not taking anything away from that. I thought it was a clear and obvious hold.
Yeah, but they always say don't let referees decide. Don't.
I agree. I'm not saying the Giants lost because of that. I'm just saying that seemed like a blatant holding on that play. That's all I'm saying.
I agree.
Okay. Yankees. Let's spend a minute or two on them, and then a minute or two on the NBA Finals. LeBron wins yet again. Third MVP finals on three different teams, which is unbelievable for him. You know, I got to a lot Saturday morning. Just be so angry if I was a Yankees fan, because you had opportunities, and it's another season, Chris, where you did not succeed overall.
Yeah, it's another season where they didn't succeed, Dave, but it's the same reason why they didn't succeed. They couldn't come through with the big hits. They couldn't manufacture any offense, and we thought that the lineup was past home run or bust, but apparently we're not. And in these types of games is when it shows up. And, you know, the Rays were able to get one more run out of their lineup than we were. And I just think when you look at their lineup in comparison to ours top to bottom, you wouldn't think that'd be possible. But that's exactly what happened. I mean, there's no excuses. I mean, it's just this team is not getting it done. And they're going to have to rethink their philosophy, their overall approach in how they're building the team. Because what they're doing over 162 or over the regular season, it's fine. But once we get into a short series in the playoffs, it becomes a problem.
What you saw in that game, though, is exactly what Tampa's done the entire season. I mean, they excel in one-run games. They play a ton of them, and they're good in all these one-run games. I mean, Yankees, lack of depth in their bullpen. I mean, K calls it the circle of trust. I mean, the fact that he had to go, I probably would have got it. I would have tried to get at least one more out of Britton because he was rolling. Mm-hmm. But, I mean, those end up being the only guys that you trust. Cole was good. I mean, I thought that
Cole was very good.
But again, certain things happen during the course of a game. Like the defense comes back to bite you. I mean, that on that Diaz grounder in the fourth, that's a play that Torres has to make. If he makes that play, the direct effect is all of a sudden Cole has to use more pitches, so he comes out of the game earlier than he needs to be.
But how many times did we have the conversation of Torres is a fine defensive shortstop, but he's not great, and sometimes that attention to detail, it finds him, and it did in that moment.
It absolutely did in that moment. And then you had, Urshela. With the misplay, too, that didn't help. But, I mean, and then the other thing, too, to take into account is that, I mean, clearly not having Tommy Canley hurt you. And then, you know, Paxton, Severino, Herman, I mean, they were thin.
True.
They were thinner than we thought in the bullpen, and their starting pitching was thin.
Yeah, but the pitching wasn't a problem, though. The pitching wasn't a problem.
Not in Game 5, it wasn't, no.
No, it wasn't a problem.
No, I understand what you're saying. But, again, I mean, you heard Buck after the game. If the hitting in pitching are good at the same time in the postseason, pitching usually wins out. And you had the eighth and ninth set up perfectly. I didn't agree with using Mike Ford in that situation because Castillo was actually, you know, more difficult against lefties. I probably used Frazier in that spot. But then you had the top of the order.
And then it takes Gashoka out of the game, which was a concern.
And then you had the top of the order. And those guys, you went down with a whimper. When it was set up. I mean, Cole gave you everything he needed. And then you had Britton, and it just turns out that Brousseau got the best of Chapman in a big spot.
Well, he must have felt so good about that too, right? After what happened during the
season. I give him tons of credit too, because Chapman threw that one pitch inside, the fastball inside that was 101 that he thought was strike three, and it was almost like Brousseau put that away in the back of his mind. Like that's the pitch he's going to go to try to get me out.
And he got better as that at-bat went on, right?
But that's a hundo, dude. I mean, that's a hundo inside.
Yep.
That he reacted to.
It was a great at-bat.
It was a great at-bat.
It was a sensational at-bat.
DCR is DiPietro, Canty, and Rothenberg. Catch them weekday mornings at 9 on 98.7 ESPN.